On June 23rd, the United Kingdom faced the biggest referendum in recent history. This was to decide whether or not we should stay or leave the European Union. As you will have heard, the population, by a very small majority, voted to leave. One of the controversies of this referendum is the vote of students and young people. 75% of 18 to 30 year olds voted to stay, meaning that students who voted to leave are very much a minority. On today's episode of Think Tank, I'm talking to history student Nathan Williams from Chester University, who came on the podcast to tell me his reason for voting leave and how he thinks the future of our country is going to change. Here's Nathan's story. You voted leave in the EU referendum. What were your key reasons for voting leave?
I think my most significant reason for voting leave, I think, is the democracy side of things. I think the EU, I think, it moves power and lawmaking power, especially, away from Westminster and largely away from me as an individual. I'm a supporter of localising government, and hence I support the Welsh Assembly, the Scottish Parliament, all of that kind of thing. And I think the EU represents a more centralised power structure that's away from, you know, the reach of the British population, I think.
You talk about democracy. What do you make of... So there's been a lot of speculation about unelected leaders in the EU.
Yes.
But then again, how do you feel about the House of Lords, which is very much unelected?
Well, I think the House of Lords needs to be reformed. I think, you know, I think we need two houses in government. I think that's important because I think largely every Western society has got two stages of government. But the House of Lords, when you've got hereditary peers, and I think especially bishops and things like that, that are just there because they're part of the state religion, I think it represents a... I don't think it represents sort of a cross-section of British society. The EU essentially has... All right, people say, you know, the EU has a parliament, but that parliament can't... largely doesn't have any powers. It's ceremonial, essentially.
Besides democracy, what other reasons do you have to leave?
Well, I think a controversial topic, of course, but I think that immigration is an important part of the... I think it's a benefit and it's a negative of the European Union, I think.
Okay.
I think that the culture that I think that Europe, I think, should be a community of sovereign countries that work together. I don't think we need a sort of central facet to kind of bring us together and legislate us all together. Mm. And I think that goes for immigration as well. I think as a sovereign nation, now that we're outside of the EU, we can still allow, for instance, Eastern European workers to come into this country. I think that's, you know, I think that will still continue. But I also think it's important that instead of just saying everybody can come, we should say that, for instance, known criminals, can't come into the United Kingdom.
But does that not cause us a bit of an issue? Because if we are to, when we do actually leave the EU, does that not mean it's going to be difficult for us to get to other countries, for example, getting a visa to go to France?
No, I don't think that's going to be the case at all, because I think that we've got 2 years now to renegotiate our position within Europe and relation to the European Union. I'm very, very sure that the free movement of people from a lot of countries will continue. I think that the Polish government are quite happy. They want a trade deal with us. They want to, have an immigration deal with us. I mean, you can go, for instance, on a completely different side of the continent, you can now go from Russia to China visa-free. It's not like an independent country won't allow, just because we're not a member of that union, it doesn't mean that we can't have the free movement of people.
What do you think of Nicola Sturgeon, leader of the SNP and First Minister for Scotland, saying on BBC News that she might try and veto the decision to leave the European Union?
Well, I think, to be quite honest with you, I think Nicola Sturgeon, to a certain extent, is slightly deluded. I think that the position that the Scottish hold in terms of this veto, I think it would be... of course, it is possible. They could try and... They could veto this, and fair play to them. But at the same time, I think that they need to understand that ultimately they are reliant on England for a huge amount of their government budget because of the oil prices at the moment obviously being very low. North Sea gas and oil, again, running out of oil. I think that they need to sort of take into account their position. I think they will be given the opportunity to have a second referendum. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't think anybody's going to argue that. If they were to veto, then I think it's just it's anti-democratic, and I think it'd be probably a national disgrace, really, in a country that's had a tradition of democracy for, you know, hundreds of years.
Although most of Scotland were Remain.
Yes.
What do you think the ramifications would be if they were to veto?
If they were to veto, and if they were to, well, I suppose it's impossible to say really what would happen because, as far as the EU is concerned, as far as the EU leadership is concerned. They want us out very soon. I mean, they want us out as soon as possible. They want a new Prime Minister in, and they want Article 50 to be activated of the Lisbon Treaty. And I think once Article 50 is activated, it's activated. There's no going back on that at all. Whether Scotland want to veto it or not, it doesn't matter. And you've got to remember that in Scotland, yes, the SNP, all right, they hold a large majority, but it's still a devolved parliament. They aren't a sovereign, you know, it's not a sovereign parliament. They are still subject to the British Parliament in London. I think it'd be an abuse of power, I think.
So immigration, do you think it'll go down?
Yes, I think I don't think it can't go up. I mean, that's the issue. I think that the problem with immigration is people are very scared to talk about immigration because there's a lot of stigma attached to even mentioning the word immigration. And I think that's wrong because immigration is an important issue. And as long as you're sensible with immigration, like any other political topic, you can talk about it, you know, without coming across as racist or bigoted or things. I think it has to be looked at. Yes, there is, of course, there's benefits to immigration. There's nobody denies that there are benefits to immigration.
Oh, I'm sure some people that deny it.
Well, okay, there are probably some people that deny it, but those people are generally considered quite stupid. But there are also negatives, and, you know, everything has to be put into perspective. I think that, yes, people will say, well, you know, we've got all of these sort of hard-working people coming over here and they, you know, they get jobs and then you've got the other side of it that say you've got all these people coming over here and they're all benefit frauds. And I think the problem is the truth is always somewhere in the middle. You have people, you know, there are more people that come over here and work than there are people that, you know, are benefit frauds.
Benefit frauds, yeah.
But you can't just ignore that. You can't just ignore those benefit frauds. You can't just go, well, generally speaking, everybody works hard and pays taxes. There are still people that don't, and you can't ignore those people.
Yeah.
And I think by leaving the European Union, we can still allow those people that work hard to come in. We can also stop the people who don't coming in. Because quite frankly, this country is struggling enough as it is financially. Mm. We don't need leeches on the system. We want people that are productive. It goes for our own populations. It's not just immigrants. It's people that are already in, you know, native Britons. I think that there are people there that leech off this country. And quite frankly, those type of people, you know, we don't want those type of people. We want people that work hard, pay their taxes and try. And that is assuming they can. So
a lot of people who voted Leave, over the last 10 years, the EU have provided around £185 million for cancer research and £145 billion for science research. For the cancer research, that's 41% of the total funding. Now, this is obviously, if this will go, and that'll be a huge, huge loss.
Well, I'd argue that point.
Okay,
actually.
Well, what I'm going to say is, do you think the government will subsidise money for science? And go on, just discuss.
I basically think, right, this is obviously been a question throughout that, you know, will certain areas be protected from EU funding? Yes, the EU did provide funding for things, there's no doubting, and yes, the sciences did benefit from the European Union. But I think that when we have essentially gained that lawmaking control back, I think it's then on the British people's backs to essentially lobby the government for... I'm trying to think of a good way to put this. Ultimately, a government is what the people want it to be. If people are disinterested in politics, then the government can get away with what it likes. If people are interested in politics, it can't get away with what it likes. And I think when it comes down to the sciences, or when it comes down to cancer research, if the British public put enough pressure on the government, government policy will change. That's how democracy works. Or if they're interested in science, an election, they vote in the more pro-science party into government. That's how it works. If somebody says in their manifesto, we're going to give money to such and such research, then the British people, if it's down... But I think the important thing here is that it's democratic. That's the issue, is that science funding is, in my opinion, is one of the most important things, and there should be an awful lot more money going into the scientific sector. There should be more money being pumped in than there is already. And I think that it's the duty of everybody in the country that agrees with that opinion that science is one of the most important things, that they should put pressure on their government. Now, you could argue, oh, well, but what happens if the British people don't? Well, if the British people don't think science is a priority, then they're going to lose out. But I think...
The issue is, some would say that the EU is just an easier way because they're just there providing the money. I don't see the general public being that... People haven't got time to be thinking, oh, let's make a petition and let's go on the streets.
No, the thing is, though, is that you say that, but the British people...
Oh, we don't know.
They've got time to sign petitions for, you know, to keep Jeremy Clarkson at the BBC. True. The British people have plenty of time for political things. It's their option to get involved, and I think that it's important that, yes, all right, there are a group of people, I would like to think there's a large group of people in this country that would prioritise science and research and development, because as I've said, in my opinion, it's one of the most key industries that we have in this country. At the same time, you could say, well, yeah, what happens if they're not interested in science? Well, then I think it's part of a democracy that if they're not interested in science, then, you know, then you're going to have to go about it a different way. I think that this is the thing, is that we could, if ideally, in an ideal situation, we could pump £1 trillion into science, and we could do that without the permission of the British government, without the permission of the British people, but that unfortunately is quite authoritarian, and I think it's where you draw the line between authoritarianism and democracy. I've always been a great believer in the phrase that people get the government they deserve, and I think that if people want if they want research and development and they want the benefits that go with that, then they will vote accordingly. And if they don't want that, then they won't vote for it and they'll lose out. I think that's the thing.
What do you think of other countries' responses to Brexit?
I think, for the most part, I think the response has actually been quite good. I think a lot of people have said, you know, we respect the will of the people. And that's obviously what you would expect in Western society and things. I think it's been very interesting to see what's happened with politicians that have become involved in the Brexit. Firstly, I think it's a question that's put with some interesting connotations there. I think that it's been very interesting. I think Obama is probably the first one that I'll tackle.
Yeah,
because
he's probably the most...
he's the most significant. He's the president of the United States, arguably the most powerful man in the world.
Leader of the free world.
Although I would actually say the most powerful man in the world is probably Putin, because personally he has the most power. I think it's very interesting that only a few short months ago he was saying that if Britain leaves the European Union, you know, they're going to be the back of the queue for a trade deal, and we're not really, you know, we're not going to get on with you as well as we did because you're outside of Europe. And then as soon as we left, it was the United Kingdom's, relationship with the European Union may have changed, but the relationship with the United Kingdom will be as strong as ever. And I hope that this special relationship that we have continues. I think that's quite an interesting change of opinion from the president, because he's, you know, he's obviously basically said that everything is going to change, and now he's saying that nothing is going to change in terms of the Anglo-American relationship.
There's been a lot of stories in the media recently about people who voted Leave as a protest vote who now think, oh no, what have I done? I actually want to remain.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Well, I think that, you know, I think ultimately, I think that was their, you know, that was their fault. I mean, if they've done that, then they're clearly stupid. If they haven't looked at the things, if they've wasted that vote that could have changed the outcome of the referendum, then I think they're just stupid. I think they've just wasted it. I don't think that's not the sort of thing. But a lot of people I've heard saying, you know, oh, but we want a second referendum because I wasted my vote and I want to try again. Well, no, that's not how a democracy works. You get one opportunity. You've got to vote for the, you know, you vote for what you really want. You should have looked at information beforehand to make that decision instead of tossing a coin or just having a protest vote. And I think that's completely their fault. I think if they've, you know, if they, in their opinion, have essentially voted, and they, in their opinion, have basically made a massive mistake, then that's their mistake. It's not, you know, I don't think we, as a whole country, should do something about some idiots that have voted because it's a protest vote or because it's, or they flipped a coin.
Do you think the referendum was necessary?
Yes, I think there was. I know that there was a lot of discussion, I think, around the election. I think it was Labour and the Liberal Democrats, I think, largely, that was saying that this EU referendum isn't a priority. It's not, you know, it's not a priority. We don't see it as a priority. Well, the British people, and it wasn't just a minority of the British people. There was a huge amount of the British people that wanted a referendum, which is their democratic right. If they want a referendum, they get a referendum. It's as simple as that. That's how a democracy works. A lot of people, again, have said that, all right, yeah, the government should be making these decisions, but then the government doesn't always represent the people. I mean, we've known that the government's full of special interest lobbyists and things like that. So do I think this was necessary? Yeah, I think it's been an important process in democracy, you know, the effects of which, you know, remain to be seen. And yeah, I you know, that's really it. I think it's incredibly important. There is one point I'd like to add, if I can add.
Go ahead.
So just another point that I think I feel as though I should add is that after all of the naysaying by the you know, by the Remain campaign, again coming into Project Fear, as it came to be known, about, you know, the economic effects and the currency and you know, the stock markets and everything's going to drop and the world's going to end, is that you have to remember that the financial markets and the currency markets and all of that sort of stuff, they're always incredibly, incredibly unpredictable.
Do you think that any other EU country are going to follow Britain and have their own EU referendum?
I think that the effects of Brexit, and I think the referendum itself, whichever way it goes, I think are going to have a massive impact on European politics. I think there's already a definite sense from the Netherlands that they desperately want a referendum in that country. I think Le Pen in France is still the favourite for becoming the new president. If she gets in, there will be a referendum in France, no doubt about that. Austria, the presidential elections recently, an anti-immigration Eurosceptic, you know, a presidential candidate essentially came from nowhere and almost won. I mean, it was literally within the tens of thousands of votes that made the difference in Austria. I would say that also, even in Germany, I think there is a huge amount of I think all over Europe, I think there is a huge amount of Euroscepticism, because I think the EU has a lot of faults. This is the issue. Whether you think those faults are worth balancing with leaving or dealing with the faults, I think there's a lot of people in Europe that the only way they see of, you know, of resolving it, I think, is by leaving. And I think, in my honest opinion, I think whether it takes 10 years, whether it takes a century, I think this could be the beginning of the end of this wider European Union that we currently see in its current form.
So there is one Leave voter's opinion. What do you think of that? Do you agree with Nathan? Do you disagree? Give us your opinion. You can contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Think Tank Pod. You can leave a comment on iTunes, Mixcloud and SoundCloud. Or you can record your voice and send it to us on Skype. Just type in Think Tank Podcast, or one word, and we will feature it in our next episode. Think Tank was produced by me. Music by Francis Lindgren. Check out his SoundCloud, links in the description. Think Tank is a free and independent podcast available to stream and download on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Mixcloud. If you like this podcast, please give us a review. Much like many other podcasts, we strive to be very impartial, so all the opinions you've heard today do not reflect the opinions of myself or the podcast. You can hear part two of this podcast also streaming now. We speak to Kieran Lewis, who voted Remain, and he gives us his opinion. Think Tank is an association with Cardiff Student Media. Go to cardiffstudentmedia.co.uk for more information.